The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Seven people can settle the policy of the whole country, and the rest of the country has to pass a constitutional amendment to overturn it. At that moment, as Lincoln said, the people have ceased to be their own rulers.
If it's just your political position, which, you know, normally a political position is just an expediency towards some common end, but when your political beliefs become your religion, they become the end.
The furniture itself in the room makes a confession, and what it confesses is, this is entertainment time. This is not an encounter with the All-Holy One.
I'm a harpist in Arkansas, and I love Issues, Etc.
I would say it has to be the most famous story of adultery, and I'm not talking about President Bill Clinton. I'm talking about a ruler, a leader, thousands of years ago, and it's right there in the pages of the Old Testament. King David, a man after God's own heart, a man chosen and anointed to be king, a man through whom God had promised to bring forth the Messiah of the world, the Savior of a world of sinners, a man that God promised would have his throne established by that descendant, Jesus Christ, forever, an eternal throne, commits adultery, along with adultery, murder by hire. It's a complicated story. In fact, from the very beginning, it becomes very twisted. And by the time David is confronted with his sin, he seems almost unaware that the prophet who comes to him telling this little parable about a man and some sheep, he's talking about him. In fact, he does seem unaware of it, but not for long. And yet, in the end, his sin is forgiven. Now, why is that? Is it because he's David? Is it because God had already made the promise? Or is it because of that descendant that God had promised to David? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, God Forgives David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12. A little bit later, you may have seen this floating around in your news feed. The earliest alphabet identified as Hebrew, there's some alleged evidence, inscriptions in both Egyptian hieroglyphics and very proto form of the Hebrew alphabet, that somehow Hebrew may be the oldest alphabet. That certainly wasn't what you were taught in grade school or high school, was it? We'll talk about that with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University in Chicago. Before that, we'll talk about sports as idolatry. Pastor Hans Feeney will be our guest. Part two of our series on living with toddlers, Anna Mussman will join us, and then to round off hour two of Issues, Etc., part six of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. We're going to talk about preaching. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed, will be with us. You can join us. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC, and the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. Today, God Forgives David in 2 Samuel 12. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Last time we were talking about David being made king, And you said something in passing that David, when he committed this great sin by committing adultery with Bathsheba and seeing to her husband's death on the battlefield, that he had, in fact, had broken all 10 commandments. What were you talking about?
Yes. In fact, in the Sunday school lesson we use from Concordia Publishing, it was Growing in Christ. This is their statement. Guilty now of adultery and murder, not to mention a host of accessory sins. Now, David broke every one of the commandments. He always breaks, as you and I do when we sin, the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. He put himself up as God. The second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, he was also leading worship many times and therefore misused the name of God in not repenting of that sin. Obviously, he broke the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy when we are to hear God's word, and he was not hearing God's word. Honor your father and mother, that's the fourth commandment. David was the father in the government, and he was not doing the will of God in taking for him a wife that was not his. You shall not murder, that's what he did to Bathsheba's husband. You shall not commit adultery, that's obvious. You shall not steal. He took the possessions of Uriah, her husband, when he murdered him, and then took her. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. He did that when he got his general to send Uriah to the furthest point where there was much danger in the war, and for sure, Uriah got killed by the enemy. And then the two covet commandments, he coveted the neighbor's house, the neighbor's wife, the neighbor's whatever. All 10 commandments David broke in this one sin.
Now, it does show us, before we start our conversation proper about God extending forgiveness to David, it does show us that, first of all, David is no plaster saint. There's no doubt about that. And that the blindness that sin can impose upon us, so that one sin leads to another, so that it becomes, as the proverb says, a tangled web that is weaved. Doesn't it show us that?
Absolutely. Every time I did something wrong, and then my parents tended to find out about it, I'd have to do another lie to cover that lie. Maybe I blamed somebody else, as Adam and Eve did. They tried to blame each other. But when we blame someone else, we are always blaming God for putting us in that situation. So the tangled weave that you're talking about is a good point. God has a set of laws in the realm of nature. You take a pen, you let go of it, it will drop to the ground. It's called the law of gravity. And there are also laws he has built in called the consequences of our sins when we do something wrong. I saw a movie recently where a woman cheated on her husband. She really enjoyed it. And then she was surprised when her husband decided to divorce her and take away the children. Duh. That is how God has set up the world, where there are going to be consequences of our sin. And we certainly saw them in Adam and Eve. We're seeing them also in David.
So, we pick up the story here where the Lord, the same Lord who had kind of watched David do all this and who was profoundly offended, he says, "You," in time he's going to say to David, "You have put the Lord to shame in front of the entire, and despised the Lord in front of all of Israel." That Lord sends Nathan the prophet to David. Pick up the story there.
Yes. Law and gospel is not just found in the New Testament. The proper distinctions is found throughout the Bible, because when we talk about law and gospel, we're talking about the use of law and the use of the gospel. Here, Nathan is confronting which was at that time an unrepentant David. So he brings to him a story that becomes law in this way. He talks about two men. One was rich, one was poor. The rich man had a large number of sheep and cattle. The poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. It was like a child to him. It shared his food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. But a traveler came to the rich man, and the rich man did not take from his own sheep or cattle, but rather he stole the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it. David is burned with anger against the man and says to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die." He also indicates the Levitical rule that when you steal a lamb, you have to pay back four times what you owe. But the fact is that David himself says, this man deserves to die. And then David hears Nathan, who is, of course, speaking for God, say to him, and I really like the King James translation here, "Thou art the man." And he tells him what he had done. He was anointed king over Israel. He was delivered from the hand of Saul. He got his master's house, many possessions. God would have given him even more. And what do? You strike down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and then take his wife to be your own. And then Nathan says, "The sword will never depart from your house," which means even David's own children will die from the sword. Why? "Because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." Now, verse 13 is probably so important. David says to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Notice here, there is no hope David has, because that's what the law does. A proper preaching of the law in its second use that God has is to make us aware of our true condition before God. And we know the law has done its work, not because someone recognizes they have sinned, but the first response to a proper preaching of the law is fearing God. And David becomes like Isaiah does in chapter 6. "Wow, I've seen the Lord of hosts. I've recognized who I am. I am a man of unclean lips," and he expects fully to die. And that's when David hears Nathan say, "The Lord has taken away your sin." This cannot be told in any other religion of the world, because sins are never taken away in any other religion when you announce them to God. Instead, God gives you a punishment. But here, when we're talking about the true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when you announce to them that you have sinned against their commandments, forgiveness comes. And this is what makes Christianity absolutely unique from every other religion in the world, that God is not like my father, I'm talking about my earthly father, who did not appreciate hearing when I had done something wrong, either at school or at home or this kind of thing. But God loves to hear us confess our wrong, because then we are also saying to God, "I have no hope when I look at myself." And it prepares us to hear what David then heard from Nathan, that your sin has been taken away. Why? Because of David's trust in Jesus Christ. And people are going to say, "Well, where's that in the text?" I would only urge them to look at Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in that psalm, it talks about being redeemed from our sins. That's David's faith. So what Nathan was looking for is the proper response when the law was preached. Not the kind of response that the rich man gave in Mark 10, where he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to get rid of his money, which he trusted in. But the response of David, when he's hit full blast by the law, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. Those are the words of repentance. And that is what led Nathan to say, in fact, your sin is forgiven. Nathan wasn't forgiving the sin. Nathan was the prophet sent by the Lord to speak law and gospel to David.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, God Forgives David, in 2 Samuel 12, the first 23 verses. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, the forgiveness is full and free. There are, as Tom mentioned before, sad and in many ways tragic consequences temporally for David and his family. Stay tuned.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
You'll find children's Christmas books, Reformation 500 gifts, devotional resources, and more in Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog. They'll send it to you for free. Call 1-800-325-3040 or view it online at issuesetc.org. Place an order for $79 or more, and CPH will send you three Christmas ornaments for free. Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in 2 Samuel 12. Nathan comes to rebuke David, and God forgives David his many and manifold sins. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. So the question naturally arises is, why does God forgive David this sin? I mean, the sin is egregious. One might even argue, Tom, that this is as egregious an offense against God and before all the people of Israel as when Saul had his great fall, even into idolatry and things like that. But David is forgiven. You said it is on account of faith in Christ, on faith in the descendant that God had promised him.
Yes, there's another Saul that tells us that even more explicitly in the New Testament on the road to Damascus. He was responsible for the murder of Christians, sent them to prison, and some of them were killed in that prison when he was persecuting Christians. Yet God decided to make him the apostle to the Gentiles. And when he came to faith that it was Jesus he was truly persecuting, his sins were forgiven. even after his conversion, he considered himself to be the greatest of sinners because he knew his secret thoughts. And in Romans 7, he talks about the things I want to do, I'm unable to do. The things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing. So this is a very comforting story. The Saul who was king did not truly repent and therefore was not forgiven. He did not receive the gift, in contrast to the Saul of the New Testament who became Paul, did repent, was baptized, and just like David, because of his confession of sin, as Martin Luther puts in the 95 Theses he put on the door, which started the Reformation 500 years ago, the life of the Christian is one of not obedience, but repentance. And we know that David had that faith, that trusted in the coming of the Messiah. I just mentioned Psalm 23, but there are many other psalms written by David under the power of the Holy Spirit that reveals the faith that he had. And that's what the Reformation is all about. We are not saved by faith plus works. We're saved by faith alone, and then the works follow them.
Okay, talk if you would, you mentioned them before, but talk if you would, that this sin, while David does enjoy full and free absolution for this sin, I think it could be argued that this sin pretty much ruins the rest of David's life in a lot of ways, especially his life with his family and his children.
Absolutely, and we see this happening so many times in both a religion with priests or pastors doing something that is atrocious. They're out of the ministry. Politicians who can't run any longer because of things they have done. When a sin occurs, God has built into the fabric of this creation consequences, and you cannot get rid of the consequences. You can get to a point where you may be able to be excused from the consequences, but rarely does it come about in this day and age what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. There, he took away the negative consequences of their sins. So what they once thought was wrong was right, and vice versa. That's the worst curse that can occur for a believer. In fact, I'll be doing a Thanksgiving service Thursday morning at 9 at Trinity Orchard Farm, which, by the way, we're looking forward to you coming and preaching here sometime yet this year, Todd. But be that as it may, the point I'm going to be making is we need to give thanksgiving to God, not just for the positive things that happen to us, but for the negative things. Because through what we consider to be suffering and grief, we are drawn even more closely to God. Look at David. When the son, the first son, with Bathsheba, began to become ill and die, David was praying to the Lord that he would reverse that decision that he had heard from Nathan, that the son would die, and people couldn't even comfort him. But once the son died, then David, all of a sudden, had a different attitude. He knew that God's will had come true, and then he says one of what I consider to be the greatest verse of the resurrection that you can find. Because what he says, even though the people were afraid to tell him that his son had died, when he said, "Is he dead?" they said, "Yes." He got up, he washed himself, put on lotions, changed his clothes, went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And then he says these words, "Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." I will go to him? He's not talking about just the grave. He's talking about his son is alive. And he's alive because God had brought him in the Spirit to be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guess what? David, on that day of judgment, will rejoin with that Son that had died because of the sin that he and Bathsheba had done. And some people think, wow, if the Lord forgave him, why is there a consequence of sin? Well, remember, you had mentioned this, Todd, the people were wondering, what's wrong with God that he allows David to do this great sin? And so there were aspersions cast against God. And in order that God might not be the one mocked, he allowed that child to be dead in order that people would realize the seriousness of sin. When you do what you want to do rather than what God wants you to do, then beware of the consequences, even though you may be forgiven.
With about a minute here, Tom, the long gospel for the kids in the Sunday school room on this story of God forgiving David.
The law is that, yes, every one of us suffer consequences of our temporal sins. In fact, they're so obvious, the Roman Catholic Church invented a doctrine called purgatory, a place you're to go to get rid of all of these consequences that you didn't pay for while you're here on earth. Fortunately, there is no such teaching like that in the Bible. But the gospel is that even while we experience the consequences of our sin, for example, a Christian who may be in jail because he robbed a bank, he can still be assured that the sin has been forgiven in the sense that he will never eternally pay for that which he did here on earth because Jesus paid the punishment when he died on the cross. That's the gospel.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Hans Feeney. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire and a senior contributor to The Federalist. We're going to discuss something that, well, I think every Christian congregation struggles with this. People on Sunday morning, you got to set your priorities, right? A lot of sports are being played on Sunday morning, not by the adults, but by their kids or their grandkids. And more often than not, what wins on Sunday morning is the kids' sports. Now, there's an easy solution. We could just not play any sports on Sunday morning. Of course, that doesn't get to the heart of the problem, which is sports as idolatry. We'll talk about that after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Are you thankful for the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc.? Please consider making a special Thanksgiving gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 6 weeks left in 2016, we're approximately $120,000 short of expenses. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.